So we're looking tonight at verse 6 in this sermon, which Jesus preached. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. How do you live as a Christian in this secular, pluralistic, multi-faith sort of world? Jesus here gives us what it means to belong to his kingdom and to live for him as the king. And you notice that Jesus doesn't begin with a method or a technique, but he lays down a foundation for us. What does it mean to belong to the kingdom of God? And then how do you live as a citizen of the kingdom of God? What does it mean to be truly blessed? Well, says the Lord Jesus Christ here, to be truly blessed means to have a right relationship with God. That's what true happiness is. What a radical word that is for the United Kingdom in 2016. Most people, if we ask them what would make them truly happy, truly blessed, truly fulfilled, and we were to say to them, what you need above everything else is to have a right relationship with God, most people are likely to think that perhaps you belong to a cult or some strange group of people. In a country which was once undergirded by Christian principles, most people in the UK tonight would think that true happiness actually involves a rejection of God and a rejection of his word. In our fellowship after the service, you can have a word perhaps with a friend of mine who I spoke to yesterday here, who was giving out tracts and leaflets in the World Cup in Brazil in 2016. And as I was talking to him, he was saying to me, generally speaking, because you could tell what country people were from by the team shirts of the team they were supporting. England, Germany, Italy, European countries would see the word Jesus. That's not for me, they would say. And that's the polite way of putting it. People from South America might politely speak and be willing to enter into some conversation. People sometimes from other parts of the world are much more open to the gospel. But for the United Kingdom tonight, for most people, to be told to be truly blessed is to have a right relationship with God. What a radical and revolutionary idea that is. But here Jesus says, if you want to be blessed, blessed are those in verse 6 who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I wonder in your heart tonight, do you say, Lord, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty for righteousness, for a right relationship with God? Most of us have never been really desperately thirsty. A few years ago, there was a corporal in the American Navy called Joey Mora. He was standing on an aircraft carrier in the Middle Eastern seas, and he fell overboard. His absence was not alerted for 36 hours. Then a sea and rescue, a sea and air rescue mission began. After 24 hours more, they gave up. They thought, no one can last 60 hours in the sea without a life jacket. His parents in America were notified missing, presumed dead. The truth sometimes is stranger than fiction, we read. Some Pakistani fishermen found Joey Mora 72 hours after he had fallen overboard. He had made a makeshift flotation device out of his trousers. He'd learnt it in a military survival training event. And these Pakistani fishermen pulled him into their fishing boat. When he was interviewed by the news after that incredible story, he said, first of all, that it was God who had kept him alive. But he said the one thing, after some hours in the water, for those 72 hours, the thing that was pounding in his brain was water, water, water. Desperately thirsty. Now the Lord Jesus is saying, not H2O, that type of water, not physical, but spiritually, the one who is thirsty for God. The Lord Jesus here is speaking to people who knew what it was to be oppressed. They were people seeking relief from an oppressor. But the Lord Jesus Christ is taking them into a deeper truth here. A righteousness which comes from God. To have a soul thirst, a longing for a right relationship with God. Now there are lots of things that people might say they're thirsty for in our country. Pleasure, power, prestige. Many people look for satisfaction in their own performance. Some labor on under the misapprehension that real satisfaction in life, fulfillment, depends on their own self-performance. You know, something that someone could put on the desk in their office. In the Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 21, you work for something with all your skill, and then you leave it all to someone who hasn't had to work for it. That's not where satisfaction, that's not where blessing is found. Many successful people in this world, and yet they know ultimately that's not where true blessedness is. Neither is it found in performance. If you're a child of the 1960s, you can remember when Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. We see here the desire. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In other words, they sense that there is something they need. You don't long. You don't thirst like that man who'd fallen into the sea, his tongue clinging to his jaw, thirsty, desperate for water. You don't thirst after God like that unless you realize you have a deep need in your heart. So the road, says Jesus, to blessedness begins by declaring yourself bankrupt before God and saying, Lord, I lack this righteousness, but I need this more than anything else in all the world. This is not a blessing to be had by those then who think they can achieve it by their own self-effort. So this is our radical message tonight. The Lord Jesus says your spiritual welfare depends on you beginning to recognize that you need a righteousness which comes from God. Now there are many people who admit there is something missing in their lives. There's a hole in their experience. They try to fill it up with all sorts of things. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, here's what you need above everything else. A right standing, a right relationship before God. You need righteousness. Are you aware of it tonight? In your heart, by the word of God and by the Holy Spirit, as God made you aware, you need a right standing before God that you do not achieve by your own merits. I looked up a website this afternoon. It's called beingjewish.com. This is its conclusion. How do you get a right standing before God? In Judaism, it is entirely up to you. If you do good, you will get good from God. It's entirely up to you. I suppose that's what the 6:1-3 is saying, isn't it? Do good. Keep the commands. By self-effort, you might get a right standing before God. Jesus says here, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are people who learn that in their own efforts, they can't achieve a right standing before God. I wonder if God has brought you to that place tonight. The desire. those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Then secondly, notice also the thing that is desired. What is righteousness? Well, we could say righteousness is perfect conformity to God's law and God's will. I'm told that the word shalom, which was in a lot of those songs that we sang, is more than peace, wholeness, completeness, tranquility, harmony, a peace, a shalom, a right relationship and standing before God. What does it mean to be righteous before God? In the 15th century in Germany, there was a man called Martin Luther who spent many hours to achieve a right standing before God. He spent hour after hour praying, doing acts of penance. And he kept coming back to Romans 1, and he read that in the gospel, the righteousness of God was revealed, and he was terrified. When he heard of the righteousness of God, Luther said to himself, "I'm condemned. No matter how hard I try, I'm not righteous before God." And if the gospel is the revelation of God's righteousness, God, seeing my sinfulness, I'm lost. And Luther trembled. He didn't have a right standing before God. And then finally, he understood this glorious truth. Yes, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. But it's not revealed by your self-effort, by you making yourself righteous before God, but by God sending his Son into the world so that our sins are laid upon Jesus Christ and God's condemnation falls upon his Son, that we might freely, by faith in Jesus Christ tonight, have a right standing before him. And that glorious truth, Martin Luther discovered it, and he saw, not by his works, but by trusting in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and him alone, he had a right standing before God. So the gospel is in this beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Do you long to be righteous before God tonight? And you know you can't achieve it by your own works. You come to an end of yourself. You see, you can't meet the standards of a holy God. And then in faith, you embrace the one who has met those standards for you and lived a life of righteousness. And find in Jesus Christ the Savior, the righteous one, who upon the cross took your sins, that you might tonight have a perfect righteousness before God. It's a very sad thing, isn't it, to think that people might say, "I can stand in my own merits before God." No, says the Bible, the perfection, the atonement of Jesus Christ, to be able to stand before God in the righteousness which comes by faith in Jesus Christ, a right standing before God. Listen to C.S. Lewis in a beautiful way, describing this hungering and thirsting, and also our natural resistance to it. He writes a book called The Silver Chair. And in his book, the lion represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a character, Jill, who represents you and me. And here's Jill. She found herself dreadfully thirsty. She listened carefully, and she was sure she could hear the sound of running water. She looked around. There was no sign of the lion. So she goes up to the stream. And the sight of the water made her 10 times thirstier than before. But she stood still. She didn't go up to the stream, because just this side of the stream lay the lion. "Are you thirsty?" said the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "May I? Could I? Would you mind going away while I drink?" The lion answered with a low growl. Will you promise not to do anything to me if I come? Asked Jill. I make no promise, said the lion. Jill was so thirsty that without noticing, she was beginning to take some steps nearer. Do you eat little girls? She asked. I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms, said the lion. I dare not come and drink then, said Jill. Then you will die of thirst, said the lion. Oh, said Jill, I suppose I must go and look for another stream then. There is no other stream, said the lion. No other stream. No other way for you to be counted righteousness before God, before God tonight, except by faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of glory. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness know their righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. And those who have that right standing before God will then long to live rightly before God. Because a Christian wants to please his or her Heavenly Father. If you're a Christian tonight, you know what it is that God, by the work of the Spirit, has planted in your heart a new life. And in that new life, a desire to please God. Hungering and thirsting for a right standing before God will result in a hungering and thirsting to live rightly before God. And then a desire to see others come into that right relationship with God as well. We see all around us the broken lives of men and women who are living under the effects of sin and its misery. And doesn't God put a desire in your heart tonight, if you're a Christian, to reach out to people whose lives are broken, lost, ruined, that they may come and have a right relationship with God too? That's why our friends are here. That's what they've been doing this last week. Reaching out with good news. There's a way for a broken life to be brought back into a right relationship with God. So seeking justification will lead to sanctification, will lead to transformation and making others aware of this good news. So the desire, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. The thing desired, righteousness, a right standing before God that leads to a desire to live a right life, that leads to a desire to reach out with others, to others, with the good news about Jesus Christ. What's the blessing promised here, thirdly? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled. Satisfaction, fulfillment, meaning. You see, so many people tonight think that the Christian life is an unsatisfying life. That living for yourself, that's what will satisfy. And if that's you tonight, I want to tell you that God's word declares to you, you don't really know what satisfaction is. It is only those who have embraced Jesus Christ by faith tonight who know what it means to be filled, satisfied, delighted, rejoicing, knowing a right relationship with God. If you're a Christian here tonight, what Christian is there ever who would say, life since I've become a Christian is not satisfying? I've never found a Christian in all the world who will say that to me. Every Christian I've ever met has said to me, I wish I'd become a Christian sooner, when I was younger. I wish I'd believed upon Jesus Christ when I first heard the gospel, because what a change, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Since Jesus Christ, since I've embraced him by faith, and I'm brought into a new and living relationship with God. If you want a living relationship with God, if you want satisfaction, You must embrace a person, Jesus Christ. Because the Savior tonight who declares, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, comes to you, not with an idea, not with a philosophy, not even with a doctrine, but he comes himself. Come to me, he says. Embrace me. Believe upon me. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Embrace him by faith, that you might know this right relationship with God. When we sang of the blessedness that Jesus Christ gives to those who hunger and thirst, listen to how the last hymn writer, who was a very rich man in his own right, Count Zinzendorf, owned lands and money and fortune. But this is what he declares: Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. And then what does he want to do? He says, oh, let the dead now hear your voice. Now bid your banished ones rejoice. You want to know true joy, he's saying? Satisfaction, fulfillment. Their beauty, this, their glorious dress, Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. Embrace him by faith. Come to him in faith. Believe upon him in faith, and you will know what it means to be filled. Let's pray together. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for this glorious good news, a Savior in Jesus Christ, in whose righteousness we can stand before a holy God. A Savior who gives us that right relationship with God, which we could never achieve or earn by our own merits. And we pray, Lord, that you will teach us what it means to live rightly for the King and to reach out to others with this glorious good news. As you give us opportunity, we pray, Lord, help us that we have good news for men and women everywhere. Good news that we can proclaim to the youngest, to the oldest, people of every nation. There is a Savior in Jesus Christ who will save to the uttermost all who come to God through faith in him. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to know what it means in the light of such a Savior to live lives that reveal and exemplify that we have found those solid joys and lasting pleasures that only Zion's children know. And we give you praise tonight in Jesus' name then. Amen. Now we're going to sing as a closing hymn, 583. This is a hymn of Zinzendorf's, translated by John Wesley, Jesus, Your Blood and Righteousness. And we're going to stand to sing this together, 583.
Oh,
who stand for the blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.